CITR 101.9 FM presents News 101, Vancouver's volunteer-produced student and community newscast. Now, here are your hosts, Katie Comley and Rita Farkas.
Good evening. Coming up on the program, shortages in BC hospitals continue to raise questions about private health care facilities.
And the Air India inquiry is wrapping up, and lawyers are making their final demands.
And we bring you a segment of Stéphane Dion's question period with UBC students in the sub last week.
We'll have all this, plus arts and your weekend weather forecast, coming up in the next 45 minutes right here on News 101.
This past Monday, UBC's Young Liberals invited Liberal leader Stéphane Dion to speak to UBC students. With more speculation on a possible upcoming federal election, Mr. Dion has been under more fire about what he would do if he were elected as Prime Minister of Canada. News 101 was there to capture some of his discussion with the students. We bring you now some of the question and answer period with Mr. Dion and UBC students.
My name is Danny Hansen. I represent HLV, HL, BH, GSV, and 3AK.
I guess it's a lot.
Yeah, well, it's a lot, but I'm speaking on kind of behalf of whatever. I'm not too happy with the way America intrigues with our personal business and our views, also the way they try to, you know, get our resources from BC. So if you get in power, my question is to you, how are you going to handle the way that Canada kind of lies down to whenever they want us to do something, but then when we want them to do something, they kind of slough us off, right? So, I mean, like, we're going to have to take a stand sooner or later, and privatization, corporations coming into BC is only taken away from it, right? So.
Okay, thank you. I think you want to me to address the issue of our relationship with the United States. I agree that it's important for us to have our sovereignty protected, our economic sovereignty protected. And for that, I suggest that the boys could. If United States have some rules to protect some of their industries, and we don't have the same rules, we are a bit boys could facing them. They have a strong way to protect their industries, it's the Pentagon. Pentagon is also an industrial strategy. At the same time, we are a trading nation, and our balance trade with the United States is very, very advantageous for Canada. So we are, we liberals, supporting free trade. It must be fair trade. We need to be careful. The soft numbered deal that the conservative did with the United States has been a mistake. I think our industry is paying the price. So we want to be sure that our trade with the United States is effective, but it must be open as well, because we're making a lot of money trading with them. I would conclude with that. For us Canadians, the United States is a friend, it is an ally, but it is not a model. And this difference is not welcome. This difference between a friend and a model is not well understood by the current Prime Minister, and it will be by me.
Hello, my name is Matt Naylor, and I'm the VP External Affairs for the Student Society here at UBC. Part of my portfolio is transit, and 40% of all people coming onto campus every single day take transit. Recently, the British Columbia government announced a major transit development initiative, and I was wondering how the federal government and how a Liberal government would help develop transit infrastructure not only in Vancouver but across Canada, but also make transit affordable, because Vancouver has some of the highest individual base fares for people anywhere in the entire world even. So how can we develop transit and how can we make it affordable to everyday people?
Thank you. This is a responsibility that is mostly at the municipal and provincial level. What the federal government can do, though, we had some infrastructure program for public transit, but we did something very, very important. We decided to transfer part of the federal gas tax revenues to municipalities, and it will be $2 billion every year. We propose to make this transfer permanent, forever. And then the municipalities will be able to plan their development. And it should be only, and something that the current government dropped, it should be only for sustainable infrastructure. That means clean air, clean water, sewages, and so on. That means brownfields and contaminated sites that we need to address. And that means public transit. And through this way, and other ways that I have in mind, but we keep it for the election, we'll be a strong partner to help Canada to have better transit, public transit systems. And public transit is at the core of what I was speaking about at the beginning of our town hall. When I said we need to combine economy, social, environment, public transit is good for the economy because you have a mobility of the workforce. Is good for social reasons because it's less affordable, so it's more affordable for the people in need. It's good, it's necessary for them, and also for the environment because it's decreasing pollution. So we will be a strong partner for public transit in Canada. I have some ideas about that.
My name is Katie Tyson, and I am the Tory representative, youth representative from Victoria. We were just wondering what is the Liberal Party's reasoning for associating with the Green Party?
No, there is one country in the world where the Green leader has said that she wants the Liberal leader to be the Prime Minister of the country, and it is in Canada. I think that Madame Elizabeth May is a very courageous person. She said that she doesn't want to be the Ralph Nader of Canada. And what that means, Ralph Nader is the individual who campaigned the campaign where you had the choice between Bush and Gore. He went there, was the third guy. And he was campaigning strongly on the environment. He was a green candidate for the presidency of the United States. And as you know, the race between Mr. Bush and Mr. Gore has been very, very close. And because the Floridians have difficulties to count their vote, the United States, and I would say the world, didn't have Gore. My own assessment is that maybe the planet would be in better shape today if we would have been different. And for Madame May has said that she doesn't want to do the same in Canada. She wants Dion. She doesn't want Harper. And I think she's right.
Bonjour. I believe in a French and English country, coast to coast to coast.
I will see you too.
Very bien. A brief question about the environment. As soon as you become Prime Minister, you're going to have to deal with, like you said at the very beginning, a very diverse country. Are you going to be able to deal with the differences between the regions, the differences between the provinces, and the cities, and what would be your approach so we don't get into infighting between Canadians like we've gone through before, but we are able to work as a country to be, like you mentioned, the leader to solve this global crisis? Thank you.
Thank you. Merci beaucoup. Well, if the Europeans are able to build a carbon market with all the nations you have there, involving 12,000 large emitters, that means companies that need to be regulated, 12,000. We are not able to do that in Canada, one country, 700 companies to regulate as large emitters, I think is doable. I'm not telling you that it will be done without some discussions that will be reliable, but with political will, it will happen. And I want to say something about your neighboring province, Alberta. I claim that I would be a much better Prime Minister of Alberta than Stephen Harper. And many Albertans have this view too. Yeah, not the majority from now. But if we think about the long haul in Alberta, the last thing we should do today is what we're doing now, sending the raw material to the United States with nothing to make it sustainable. Assume that we decide, as a country, because we'll need the talents and skills of UBC as every university and labs in Canada to succeed. Assume that we decide to make a priority, Fort McMurray must be sustainable. Imagine the billion of investments, of green investment you will have in Alberta to succeed, instead of doing what we are doing now. And the resource will save. We don't need to send it right away as we are doing now. I'm not alone to say that. The former premier of Alberta, Peter Lougheed, said the same. We need to have a rational development in Alberta to succeed and to give to Albertans a province that will be successful for the generations to come. I want to help for that, and I will do it in strong partnership. I know the mayors of this province. I know how much Calgary and Moncton are very advanced in green technologies. They have a strong leadership in wind power. It's not true that Albertans don't care about the water, about the clean air, about climate change. I know you have a lot of goodwill in Alberta, as everywhere in Canada. And we will succeed from coast to coast to coast to make this country a champion of the new industrial revolution, the one of the sustainable economy.
Mark Stein-Vogler. My question relates to agriculture. The global agricultural system and the food supply chain that we have in right now give global communities a lot of problems. Farm communities are not able to be economically sustainable. The food that we get on our plate is not of the nutrient value that it could be, and it hurts the environment. Many other practices hurt the environment through transportation and growing methods. My question is a broad one. What are your general thoughts about how we can make our agricultural systems more within the three circles that we need, the social, economic, and environmental sustainability?
Andrew, it's a large question. I will focus right away on your last point. How to make agriculture part of the solution for the environment. I think if we have what we propose, we liberals, if you have a carbon market in Canada, and then the farmers, the farm producers who are able to have the local practices to change, manure in electricity, to do all these new solutions, will have credits that they will be able to sell in the market. And these green technologies and the greener way to do agriculture, to have a lower footprint about the food that you eat, it will be part of the agriculture of tomorrow around the world. We need to wake up in Canada and to give to our farm producers an openness to this new reality. This is key for the future of the farms in Canada. And if we don't do that, I'm afraid that we'll miss an opportunity. And this is what I'm proposing to you on every file we have discussed together. How can we change challenges in opportunities, including for rural Canada?
It's nice to meet you face to face.
Thank you.
I came from a country that's really hard to meet someone important like you, like in face to face. And that's all because of the social development that ended up with seeing you and talking to you. So what do you think you have for the Middle East, kind of a social development there? What do you have for as a liberal or kind of cooperation between Canada and Middle East?
Canada must be a good citizen of the world everywhere, including in the Middle East, especially because many of the challenges we discussed today will have a terrible effect in the Middle East. If we do nothing, 40% of the fresh water available is at stake in the coming decades in the Middle East, and the populations will grow. I don't see how peace will be easier to reach when this will happen. Canada must be a strong partner. I spoke about that to a lot of experts in Lebanon, for instance, because they have a strong Lebanese community in my riding. Saint Laurent, the nickname is Saint Liban. they expect more from Canada, more leadership. I think water is something I would like to focus on a lot. In addition to our traditional role that Mr. Harper dropped, and that we need to bring back, that is to be an honest broker, to help our friends, Israel, Palestine, and all the countries around to find solutions for peace. We need to focus on some new mission. And a mission I would like our country to tackle, much more than it is the case today, is the challenge of fresh water. Fresh water in the 21st century will be, and climate change will make it worse, will be an issue that will grow and will create a lot of instability and difficulties around the world. A country like Canada, blessed by so many natural resources, one of the best universities you may find in the world, should do much more. And Middle East should be one of our priorities.
And for those of you just tuning in, that was Stéphane Dion answering some questions posed to him by UBC students last Friday in the Student Union building.
Now with a look at other UBC-related news, here is Radio Free UBC's commentary with Nate Crompton and Mike Richardson.
On today's show, Venezuela at the Crossroads, an interview with John Riddell and Suzanne Weiss, and Tristan Markle wins VP admin race. We have an exclusive interview with the new AMS VP administration.
Today we had the opportunity, students had the chance to hear John Riddell and Suzanne Weiss speak on their recent trip to Venezuela. They traveled down to Venezuela last year just at the time of the famous referendum. And they're here today. John Riddell's an editor of Socialist Voice. It's an online journal, long-time socialist labor publication. And Suzanne Weiss has been an organizer with the We Are With You Venezuela Coalition. So I'm going to first just ask you guys about your trip. Today at the event, I was astounded just to find out about the explosion of community-based movements, cooperatives, democratic councils, all throughout Venezuela. Can you talk about this sort of change in the Bolivarian period?
Well, I'm with the Venezuela We Are the With You Coalition in Toronto, and John and I went to Venezuela, as was said. You've probably heard about Venezuela's great public health system. It's called Barrio Adentro, and they have various adentros in Venezuela, and it offers free care, medicines, hospitals to the 70% of the population in Venezuela that were previously neglected. And we found the system very superior, actually, to the Canadian system. For instance, at any time of night or day, when a Venezuelan needs some care of any type, the doctor is ready at any time of night to help them. And the government, the new government, thinks in terms of communities, and thus they've built 10,000 of these clinics of Barrio Adentro, small hospitals in working class or poor people's areas in rural communities that never saw doctors before. And if you went to a hospital or a clinic, and we asked them how long would you have to wait to see a doctor, and they said, well, either right away or sometimes they'd have to wait a long time. And we asked them, how long is a long time? They said 15 minutes.
So immediately Canadians are going to want to go get Venezuelan health care. So... I just a second question was for John, because you were talking a lot about the situation inside Venezuela and the movement, the cooperative movement, and the communal councils, but also you spoke about Venezuela in the international scene and Venezuela's relationship to the international community and what the new so-called 21st century socialism looks like internationally, and what the implications are there.
Venezuela is part of a continent, Latin America, in which there's been terrible economic damage to countries and especially to poor people as a result of policies that transfer wealth to the United States and to Canada and to other rich countries of the world, policies that are sometimes called neoliberalism. The Venezuelans have set out to ally with other peoples in Latin America to reverse this project by policies of mutual assistance. For example, Venezuela is providing oil at unfavorable terms to all various countries of the Caribbean. I think 16 countries of the Caribbean are now involved in this process, so the countries who do not have oil resources can have a secure supply of oil. And for poor countries, this is very, very important. They have formed an alliance on this basis, which is called ALBA, which is the Bolivarian Alternative for the Americas. through which they have various forms of exchange on the basis of solidarity rather than on the basis of private profit. One example of this is that the public health care program that has been instituted in Venezuela has been extended with the aid of Cuba to other countries in Latin America, like Bolivia, where there has been a substantial increase in public health standards in the last few years as a result of this cooperation.
So I think that's all the time we have, but you guys are speaking tomorrow downtown. Can you announce the event?
Yes, we're speaking at the Simon Fraser University Harbor Center, 515 West Hastings Street at 3 p.m. That's Saturday, tomorrow, February 16th. And we hope that you can come to this meeting and learn more about what is actually happening in Venezuela. What is exactly, what do they mean by socialism in the 21st century? So we all hope you come.
Great. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And now we have on radio for UBC an interview with Tristan Markle. Tristan, today was announced the winner of this week's elections for VP Academic or VP Administration of the AMS. Sorry, this was a special by-election after the initial election was canceled during the other elections. So, Tristan, first of all, congratulations on your victory. And I'd like to ask, what do you think appealed to what do you think appealed about your platform to voters?
Oh, thank you. First, I'd say that all the other candidates were really wonderful people. Mike Kushner was really lovely, and Steve McCarthy is going to be a great politician someday, and Sean and everyone else. It was a civil debate. And I think the things that set me apart from the other candidates were that I put the Sub-Renew project in the context of the broader direction that the campus is going in. Over the past 10 to 20 years, the university has been privatizing much of the campus and has been creating neighborhood areas that are zoned as private development zones, and they've been building condos on South Campus and even just next to Gage and all around campus, eight neighborhoods. And one of those neighborhoods was the center of campus, the University Boulevard zoning area neighborhood plan. And so I think I've said that Sub-Renew is the solution to the U Boulevard fiasco. So whereas 1 year ago, the university administration and everyone else was pretty much convinced and determined that we're going to have a private shopping mall and market housing right in the middle of campus where the grassy knoll is, through a petition, many people got together and were able to stop that. And now I see the Sub-Renew process as a way to answer all those grievances and to create a student center campus.
Well, all of us at Radio Free UBC look forward to seeing the great work in the coming year. That's all the time we have for this week, but just two quick announcements. First off, on Monday the 18th, that's 3 days from now, Karl Rove, a former advisor to George Bush, who was once referred to as Bush's brains, is speaking here in Vancouver at the Art Gallery at 6 p.m. Tickets are $500, so that's probably out of the price range of most of our listeners, but there may be some demonstrating activity going on outside, which you might want to check out. And one more reminder to come to Venezuela at the Crossroads with Suzanne Weiss and John Riddell tomorrow, 3 p.m., SFU Harbor Center. And finally, keep your eyes open. First week of March, Resisting the University, a week of events and panels on student activism and student power. Thanks for listening.
And thanks, as always, to Radio Free UBC for their piece. We're now going to take a quick break, but stay tuned to CITR for more news following these public service announcements.
On Friday, February 22nd, 2008, at the Queen Elizabeth Theatre, CITR 101.9 FM and Live Nation are proud to present Xavier Rudd. A major talent and multi-instrumentalist, Xavier plays guitars, tongue drums, stomp boxes, djembes, harmonica, ankle bells and slide banjo. His songs speak of compassion, humanity, spirituality, the Aboriginal peoples of his native land, Australia, and the environment. A folk festival favourite and hugely popular in Canada, Xavier packs in armies of the faithful at his amazing shows. Don't miss Xavier Rudd live at the Queen Elizabeth Theatre on Friday, February 22nd, brought to you by Live Nation and CITR 101.9 FM.
In these times but paranoia closes in. Power and hate around raging disease.
Well, some of the counties in Florida, evidently there were some questionable voting procedures, and those ballots are being recounted.
The Graduate Student Society is pleased to announce the opening of nominations for GSS Elections 2008.
The UBC Graduate Student Society represents and advocates on behalf of all UBC graduate students to the university, the government, and the public.
We provide academic, professional, social, and recreational services to our members.
The nomination closes February the 8th. So hurry up and file your nominations. You can vote online at Student Service website. Voting starts February 15th.
For more information, please visit www.gss.ubc.ca.
Who did you vote for?
The UBC Ski and Snowboard Club is a nonprofit, democratic, student-run organization dedicated to promoting the sports of skiing and snowboarding and the associated lifestyle.
We endeavor to make skiing and snowboarding accessible and fun by actively seeking out the best deals and discounts for our members, as well as organizing trips to local ski areas and setting up numerous social events.
Come on one of our legendary trips and explore the glory of riding in British Columbia. Or join us at the bar to discover the true meaning of debauchery. Ask your roommate, ask your parents, ask the RCMP. Who has the most fun at UBC? You'll get the same answer. The Ski and Snowboard Club.
Duh. Joining the Ski and Board Club is easy. Come by our office, sub 115, anytime with some money to become a member. Your membership gives you access to all the deals offered by our sponsors, cheap beverages at our parties, an invitation to all club events, and of course, only members can come on the trips. Yeah.
This is News 101, and the current time is 5:28.
Now, with a look at some local and national headlines, we're joined in studio by News 101 reporters Carrie Baptist, Leanne Yu, and Tracy Fuller.
In local news, the Royal Columbian Hospital continues to face issues of overcrowding this week. Dr. Sheldon Glazier says that at any one time, there are approximately 300 patients in the hospital receiving normal care, and an additional 300 patients floating around the hospital without beds. The Fraser Health System doesn't have enough resources to take care of an aging and expanding population. Dr. Glazier says that 1 to 2 new hospitals are needed to properly cover this patient overflow. He says that a private company has proposed to build another hospital across from the Royal Columbian and lease it back to the government, but that this new proposal hasn't been recognized. In the short term, Dr. Glazier says a new 5-year plan is needed.
In provincial news, BC is facing problems with what is called a new generation of mentally ill people. Unlike those who have lived in Riverview Psychiatric Hospital in previous years, this new group is plagued with not only mental illness, but drug addiction, homelessness, and severe physical breakdown as well. Bev Gutrav of the BC chapter of the Canadian Mental Health Association says there are about 12,000 British Columbians who are both mentally ill and drug addicted. This number does not even include people who have never been diagnosed or sought help. It seems old solutions to the problem just don't work anymore. Police and health officials say a new system is needed to treat the mentally ill of today. Previous programs only treat one problem at a time, and new plans need to be put in place to treat multiple problems at once.
And in national news, as the Air India inquiry is wrapping up its 18-month investigation, families of the victims are calling for a formal apology. Lawyers for the victims' families say the Prime Minister himself should apologize for the tragedy, given the number of intelligence, policing, and regulatory failures that came to light during the inquiry. Lawyers say an apology is called for because the federal government failed to prevent the tragedy and did not successfully investigate and prosecute those involved. During their closing remarks today, lawyers also called on the federal government to reconsider monetary compensation for the victims' families. No date has been set for the Supreme Court Justice John Major's final report, which is expected to make recommendations on how to prevent a similar incident from occurring again.
The federal government announced today that it plans to limit phosphates in household detergent to control the growth of harmful blue-green algae in Canadian lakes and rivers. Environment Minister John Bard made the announcement that by 2010, consumer detergent sold in Canada can contain no more than 0.5% phosphates. Bard cited the explosive growth of blue-green algae spurred by phosphates as the reason for the regulations, saying that the algae growth has led to clogged waterways and has a poisonous impact on marine life. The federal initiative follows last year's measures by Quebec and Manitoba to limit phosphates to 0.5% from the previous 5% limit.
Okay, thanks, Carrie. We're going to take a quick break, but stay tuned to CITR for more news following these public service announcements.
Just when you've started wondering where all the cabaret dancers have gone to, they've reappeared to showcase their moves for the purpose of a cause during a night of riveting performances.
Girls on Top Risqué Cabaret presents Varieties!
Varieties is a soulful fundraiser for victims of violence and survival sex trade workers.
Special guests, burlesque divas, Diamond Minx, Darla Devine, singer Vanessa Maximilian, and host Bridgie Kay.
Varieties promises to be a night full of sassy ladies, jaw-dropping performances, and good old-fashioned debauchery.
Be sure to check out this unique event happening Friday, February 15th at the Mirage Nightclub in Surrey. Tickets available in advance at clubvibes.com or at the door. Doors are at 8 and the show is at 10. All net profits go directly towards the cause.
For more information, contact Girls on Top Risqué Cabaret.
What is that? I know what that is. That's music.
For $15, the Friends of CITR card scores you in-store discounts at Beat Street, Red Cat, Vinyl, Scratch, and Audio Pile. Support Vancouver's finest indie radio station and pick up your card today.
What do you want to do with your life?
I want to rock.
February 20th, tune in all night long for the Homelessness Marathon on CITR.
Why do a nationwide homelessness marathon?
Because homeless people should have access to the media where they can freely speak out. Because it is the homeless who are best able to educate people on the issue of homelessness.
This 14-hour broadcast will begin at sunset on Wednesday, February 20th, and continue through sunrise the next day in front of the Native Friendship Center of Montreal.
This year, more than 30 stations are carrying the Homelessness Marathon. For more info, visit www.citr.ca.
To participate, dial 1-866-763-4136. Call toll-free.
They say you don't want people giving you too much?
No, well, you don't want to see, like, when you panhandle, people like you to come off with some clever kind of saying. And it's really because every individual's got what's going to make them laugh, and you may not even understand why they're laughing.
This is News 101, and the current time is 5:34. Our producer, Megan Turcato, is here now with a look at our oddity of the week. Megan, I hear you are bringing us another semi-local story about what BC's most eccentric billionaire is up to.
Yes, Rita. And as if he couldn't get any richer, Jim Patterson or his company, the Jim Patterson Group, is expanding yet again. The Vancouver billionaire already owns various radio stations, a wax museum, golf course, and the Ripley's Believe It or Not empire. But now, Jim Patterson owns the world's best-selling copyrighted book, the Guinness Book of World Records, and its entire organization. Nobody knows how much he paid Hit Entertainment for the company. The annual Guinness World Records book is an international bestseller published in more than 100 countries and 37 languages since it was first published in 1955. Ripley's has held the rights to develop and operate Guinness World Records museums and attractions for over a decade, and there are now 6 attractions in 4 countries. So what do you have to say about that?
Well, first of all, I think when we were reading the story while we were putting the script together, we were all shocked that Jimmy Pattison even owned Ripley's Believe It or Not to begin with, and has moved on to the wild and wonderful world of Guinness World Records. I don't know, Rita. I mean,
well, if anyone knows that that is incorrect, please call us at News 101, because I was so stunned that I think maybe there's some, like, plausibility issues there.
Jimmy Pattison, if you're listening, give us a call, because, I mean, it's pretty impressive. It's actually quite a little fun enterprise that he would want to invest in, but I mean, I don't know.
Okay, if you're really, really rich,
what would you do?
I don't know. I think that's the last thing I'd invest in. That and oil.
The last thing. What would you invest in if you had Jimmy Pattison's money?
Megan?
What would you?
Well, I was just thinking that it's such a disparate collection of things. Nothing
right.
goes together. You can't have whatever synergy between these companies.
Right.
He also, as we were talking about last week, owns Overweighty chain of stores.
Right.
So, like, just very diverse holdings here.
Well, it must be maybe partially, like, advisors are telling him that make sure to have investments in a lot of different sectors, because if something crashes, you'll still have the entertainment industry. I also know he owns a lot of fishing licenses, which are extremely, extremely expensive, but obviously helpful.
So I guess he's betting that people will never stop wanting to ogle people who are weird.
It's true. You know what? He's banking on human nature, which really there's always going to be a need for that, sad to say, but you know, you can't accuse him of not having a diverse portfolio with the market being as up and down as it is. He's got a hand in everything, so I guess we're going to hand it to you, Jim Pattison, for buying up Guinness Book of World Records.
There you go, aspiring billionaires. You learned it from Jimmy Pattison, BC's very own.
Thanks, Megan. Okay, we're going to throw it to the Arts Report with Katie Fitzpatrick.
Hello and welcome to your 5-Minute Arts Beat here on News 101. I'm your host, Katie Fitzpatrick. Now, we got lots of stuff coming up this week. Just finishing at UBC here was UBC Pride Week. They had a lot of arts-related events sort of going on. They had some comedy nights and some literary events and some movie nights and things like that. And they had a party on last night, so hope you got a chance to check that out. And if not, you should keep your eyes open for it coming around next year. Lots going on outside of UBC, however, as well. The students over at Langara College at Studio 58 are currently doing their performance of The Boyfriend. It's Sandy Wilson's musical romance set at a fashionable finishing school on the French Riviera in the 1920s. That is till February 24th at Langara College. On with the Presentation House Theatre in North Vancouver, which actually often has gems on, they're the Three Sisters. Presentation House Theatre presents Anton Chekhov's classic drama about a provincial Russian family that longs to return to Moscow. That's till March 1st, once again at the Presentation House Theatre. Now, the students here at UBC are currently putting on The Learned Ladies. It's Richard Wilbert's translation of Molière's comedy about literary pretension and early feminism. That is till February 16th at the Frederick Wood Theatre here at UBC, so that's tomorrow night. So if you're going to check it out, you got to check it out tonight or tomorrow. Another theatre event that's on right now is The Dark Between. Craning Neck Theatre presents a new play by Jeremy Waller based on the life and work of Canadian poet Pat Lowther. That's till February 16th, also tomorrow night at the Beaumont Studios. Nice little theatre, often has some interesting little independent productions. Finally, on at the Vancouver East Cultural Centre, again till tomorrow night, February 16th, so you got a few to choose from, is the Satchmo Suite. Eastern Front Theatre presents Hans Bogild and Doug Innes' musical play about a modern-day classical cellist who has a special relationship with the late jazz great Louis Armstrong. Now, in addition to some theater events, there's also a couple dance events going on. One is In Bulk in the Belly, and I had a chance to talk to the choreographer, Carolyn Debbie, a few weeks ago. This is part of the Cultural Olympiad that, I guess, the provincial government is putting on as part of their preparations for the Olympics. So every year until the Olympics, so the next couple of years, during the time when the Olympics would be on, they're having a Cultural Olympiad, and various artists have asked for some support to be part of this event. So, you know, regardless of whether or not you're an Olympics supporter or not, this, you know, nothing wrong with some cultural events going on, and you may want to go check some of them out. So one of these, as I mentioned, is In Bulk in the Belly. The Dance Center presents a collaboration between choreographer Carolyn Debbie and filmmaker Clancy Dennehy, exploring the human journey from death to new life. You can find more information at www.dancecenter.ca. That is also till tomorrow night. And that one you meet at the Roundhouse Community Center, but the actual performance is a moving performance. So you go around some different places in the city to watch more of the performance. Something else going on right now in dance is the Four Seasons. Ballet British Columbia presents the world premiere of John Alain's newest full-length work, set to music by Antonio Vivaldi. The music also includes choreography by Mark Morris and Dominique Dumais. Now, John Alain, if that's how you pronounce it, is said to be a real boundary-pushing choreographer and director in the ballet scene, and there's an article about him currently in the George Strait. That's something that you may want to check out. It's at the Queen Elizabeth Theatre. Now, something coming up also here at UBC in the Museum of Anthropology is, excuse my pronunciation, Wiyahanina, Coastal First Nations Dance Festival. So the Gitxsan Nation's dancers of Damalahamid perform a show incorporating dramatic mass dances, ancient songs, button blankets, and Northwest Coast art. You can find more information at www.moa.ubc.ca. That is February 17th from 3 to 4:30 p.m. So once again, it's a Coastal First Nations Dance Festival on at the UBC Museum of Anthropology on the 17th, which I guess is Sunday. One more event going on in literary events is H. Nigel Thomas's presentation of his new book, Return to Arcadia. He's a Caribbean-Canadian author, and he's also going to be discussing this new novel. That's going to be at the Chapters on Robson, February 16th at 2 p.m. So it sounds like you've got lots of tomorrow night and Sunday of things to check out, almost everything wrapping up this Saturday. One more thing to let you know about is if you don't get a chance to do something between now and Saturday, Fifth Avenue is currently making up for the sort of lack of new films by showing the, I think it's five, Best Picture nominees at their theater right now. So you can check out Juno, There Will Be Blood, No Country for Old Men, Michael Clayton, and Atonement. So if you're looking for a movie to see, these are guaranteed to be at least pretty good movies because they're selected by as some of the best pictures of the year by the Academy. Maybe you don't exactly agree with them, but certainly these are movies that are worth seeing, especially if you want to participate in the discussion once the Oscars roll around. Once again, for your 5-Minute Arts Beat, I'm Katie Fitzpatrick.
Thanks, Katie. And before we go tonight, we're going to check in with our meteorologist, Selena Ferris, for a look at your weekend weather. Selena?
After this front passes, there are sunny skies ahead. Saturday, the clouds will be clearing throughout the day for a mix of sun and cloud, a high of 7 degrees, and an overnight low down to zero. Sunday will be clear all day, high of 6 degrees, and a low down to zero. These conditions will persist through Monday, but it will cloud over by Tuesday. That's your weekend weather live from the top of Mount Seymour, brought to you by the Storm Club at UBC. For more information, you can email us at stormubc@gmail.com.
Selena, I have a quick weather question for you. Are you still there?
I am.
Okay, so all this good news about nice weather in the upcoming week, I'm going to be doing a bunch of work in North Van outside, and I'm just curious. I know North Van always gets yucky weather because the mountains are there, and so are we still going to have nice weather in North Van?
Yeah, it'll clear up all over the place, so hopefully by early in the week it'll be clear. I don't know about the rest of it, though.
So there's some hope for reading break.
Yeah.
Yay! All right, Selena, thanks for the good news before the long break.
Yeah. Have a good one.
You too.
Bye.
That's our program for February 15th, 2008. Today's newscast was brought to you entirely by volunteer efforts, and if you'd like to share your comments, give us a hot news tip, or get involved with the show, contact us. Our phone number is 604-822-5334, or you can email news@citr.ca.
Megan Turcotto produced this radio program. For more news, join us Monday at 5 p.m. for the next edition of News 101. For the entire news team here at CITR, I'm Katie Comley.
And I'm Rita Farkas. Thanks for listening. Coming up next, UBC men's and women's playoff basketball with Thunderbird Ion Sports. This is CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
Featured UBC TV. Check out www.ubctv.com.